So thanks, Shvala Malini. Very nice to be here. Very nice to have come up from Devon, the southwest, the deep southwest, to Bristol for this event. Very nice to be here. It's really not my custom to speak off the cuff and without notes. I usually like to have a few days to fret and worry about things, and I've only had... one meditation in which to do that. And the other thing is, Shvala Malini said, oh, well, it's a personal talk. And at that point, I seriously regretted saying I would do it. I was still at the entrance, so I thought, could I escape? To get personal things out of me, it usually takes a crowbar. But anyway, so I'll do my best. We're referencing Bhante's poem, The Four Gifts. In a way, it's a bit strange, but it's interesting talking about what Bhante has offered us and what Tree Ratna has to offer the world, when, as many of you know, where Tree Ratna is going through a period of kind of self-examination again. There's been quite a lot of just questioning and debate about, well, what it is we offer. Some of that is quite controversial. So it's interesting trying to communicate what we have to offer against that background. For me, although that examination has caused some vexation, in some ways it's left me feeling more confident in what we do have to offer. So in this poem, Bhante talks about the lotus flower as, and I take that as a symbol of spiritual unfoldment. What's possible as human beings, these mysterious creatures that come into existence, we're going to stop at some point, we're wrestling with life. What do we make of that? What gives us meaning? What gives us direction? So we're being offered this this image of unfoldment. So I want to talk about, in a way, I want to focus, or I've got in mind two images, the lotus, but also the oak tree. So I'd like to say something about both of these. I think it's interesting, and obviously with the lotus, Bhante's referencing the very famous image from the Buddhist tradition right back to the time of the Buddha's enlightenment, for his vision as human beings growing and developing like lotuses. And I think it's interesting just... Thanks. I thought I was going somewhere and it was getting interesting, but obviously not. But it's interesting having a sort of organic image for growth, isn't it? It's like things grow in a mysterious way, an unpredictable way. In a way, you can't guarantee that they will grow. And you don't know what's going to emerge. I mean, with the lotus flower, I mean, I don't know much about lotuses, actually, but... You know, you probably don't know whether they're going to be red or yellow or blue. Some even bloom during the night, which is very interesting. They bloom in the shadows. They bloom in the dark. So there's something mysterious about growth and development. With the lotus, we've got this fragile but beautiful thing that comes into being. It grows out of the mud of... circumstance, grows out of the mud, is nurtured by the mud of circumstance, and grows up, gradually opens and unfolds into this thing of great beauty, but something that's ephemeral and quite sort of tender, and like all things, it's impermanent, doesn't it? I don't know how long the blooms last, but maybe only a season, maybe only a few days. This great sort of thing of beauty that appears, which is the culmination of all this effort, all this sort of maturing. So we have the image of the lotus for what it's possible for us to become. Increasingly, I favour the oak as an image, in a way. A couple of weekends ago, had a walk up onto Dartmoor to a place called Wissmann's Wood, which is a small patch of some of the oldest remaining deciduous woodland on Dartmoor. At one point, Dartmoor was completely covered with forests, but now there's only these little patches of deciduous wood, Wissmann's Wood. And you walk in there, it's a very atmospheric place. All these sort of venerable old oaks, all side by side, not really in competition, each sort of unique. And I like the oak because the oak matures over years, over decades, even over centuries in some cases. And I think for me, just I like to think of the spiritual life in terms of maturing, maturity, something that takes place over a long, long spell. And something in a way that can, and it is unique for each tree, for each individual. And something in a way that can't be reduced to or calibrated against a particular list or set of categories. You know, you can measure an oak tree in terms of its number of rings, about how old it is, but it doesn't tell you really anything about the oak tree. The oak tree is much more sort of wonderful, mature, something that matures and grows over time. Just give me a second or two. So yeah, that for me, that's a much more sort of satisfactory image for spiritual development. And if you look at oak trees, they're a bit battered, they are weathered, they're scarred, they're gnarled, bits are broken off them. They've been battered by the winds and the storms of conditioned existence over the years, and they've sort of had to grow round things. They'll set off in one direction and they'll hit a rock, so they have to go in another direction. So the spiritual life is like that. If you persist with a spiritual life, you'll be weathered, you'll be gnarled, you'll be scarred. It's inevitable. Okay. So in some ways, when you start off, I think the lotus is quite a good image, because there you are, fresh and bright, you know, blossoming. A bit further down the track, sometimes it doesn't quite seem like that anymore. You've grown in different directions. You're weather-beaten. You're scarred. But you're venerable. You're solid. So I like oak trees because when I'm around them, I get this sort of, you get lots of feelings for them, but you get a sense that oak trees have seen everything. They've got this great big sort of reach. They've got this biggest perspective. Nothing can shake an oak tree. There it is. It's just everything's been thrown at it. It's seen it. It's weathered it. You know, it can sort of equanimously look around at everything, thinking, oh yeah, nothing's going to surprise me anymore. I know how things are. There's this sort of great sort of perspective. There's also something very benevolent about oak trees. There's something very reassuring. You stand under the shelter of an oak tree. And I think things gravitate around oak trees, and there's this great, for me at least, without being too fanciful, there's this sense of benevolence, of love even. So for me, yeah, the spiritual life, in a way, I sort of see it in two ways, and you know, in a way this comes direct from the Buddha, but there's this, the breadth of perspective, of being able to see things, see existence, see experience from this broadest perspective, which can give one a sense of stability, of equanimity, of being unflustered, stable, grounded, but also benevolence, love. And obviously, I think that love comes out of that broadest perspective, but it must be there. So perspective and benevolence, and rootedness and stability, and something that's endured over time and matured and enriched over time. And has its own unique character. If you go, when I went into Wiseman's Wood, you'd sort of see one oak tree, and there it was, gnarled, covered in fungus and moss. And then you turn around and you think, oh, that one's completely different. So there's all these sort of characters. And I suppose my experience of being around Triatna is I'm increasingly in the company of old, venerable, gnarled characters. Not looking at Ajita Sena for any particular reason, but there isn't it, these venerable, venerable, great characters. And I do have confidence in what we've been given is a way of doing that. So I'm trying to become more oaky as I grow older. I think our community is becoming more oaky. In a way, our community is like this great oak tree, scarred, gnarled, bits broken off, inhabited by all sorts of creatures. But I wish you all well in blossoming as lotuses or as becoming more oaky.